brethren. Let's go back now to Revelation 13. Let me read one more time. There's two verses here in verse 16. Speaking of the second beast, it says, "He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Now, in recent months, I've heard Revelation 13 referenced several times, and in particular concerning this mark of the beast. And throughout the gospel age, there's been much speculation about this, what this mark is. In recent years, there's been talk about it being a chip embedded under the skin. Folks have talked about it being a tattoo or a mark. And nowadays, folks are saying that the vaccine's the mark of the beast. That's not new. If you have parents who are baby boomers, they have a mark on their arm where they got a vaccine and they went through the same exact thing. People thought that was the mark of the beast, too. As we look into Revelation 13, I pray the Lord would set our hearts on Christ. This is the revelation of Christ. He's the focus, as He is throughout all the Scriptures. And we'll get comfort here if we hear what the Lord is teaching us. And when you read the book of Revelation, don't read it as it being chronological order of things that are going to come to pass. These are things that have been going on since our Lord came. It's written to the church, and it's happened in every age throughout this gospel age, and it will continue to the end. Now, I'm going to go through Revelation 13, but I want to give you some background on Revelation 12, and I'm just going to give you a few things. But it declares how Christ accomplished the redemption of His people. It reveals the woman, who is the church, and she brings forth the man-child. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was to rule all nations. That's Christ. And the dragon is Satan. He's the devil. He tried to prevent Christ from coming into the world. He did that from the beginning because he knew the Lord said, "You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head." And so he's tried to keep Christ from coming into the world, and several times persecuted Israel, trying to kill the male babies, and even did at our Lord's birth. But our Lord came forth, and there is described in Revelation 12 a great war. And that war went on throughout our Lord's life, but specifically on the cross. And Christ won. Christ won the victory. The devil bruised his heel, but Christ mortally wounded the devil's head. And so her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Christ has accomplished the redemption of his people. He's arisen. His people have arisen in him. He's won the victory. And the devil was cast out into the earth, and he's going to war against the woman and against her seed, that is the church, because he knows he has just a short time. And when God says a short time, it's not like when we say a short time. This short time has been going on since Christ arose. And who knows how much longer it'll go on, but it's just a short time. And as Paul said in Romans, "The Lord will bruise Satan under your feet shortly." But for now, he is working. Now, Revelation 10 says this is what they heard whenever the Lord ascended. "I heard a loud voice," Revelation 12:10. "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.'" That's the devil. And it says, "And they overcame him," now get this, "by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." God's elect are saved by the blood of the Lamb, by Christ our righteousness. And the Spirit of God will not permit his people, His saints to renounce our testimony of Christ. He's going to keep us believing Christ and not let us renounce that testimony. Even unto death. If we have to be martyred, and there will be some that will be martyred, they have been already, and there will be more. He says that in the book. They have to be martyred, they have to be killed, they're witnesses. But if that's necessary, all they can do is kill the body. And the Lord will give you grace so that you don't renounce the faith, so that you continue in Christ, and He'll raise you to be with Him. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to separate you from Christ. They're just going to introduce you into glory. That's all. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil's come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman who was brought forth the man-child. That's the church. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the things written here in Revelation speak of what's been happening since Christ came and accomplished the redemption of his people. Now, these things are going to go on until he returns, but none of these things, and get this, none of these things shall undo the salvation Christ has accomplished for his people. And none of these things are going to ever separate Christ's people from Christ. It'll never happen. Our warfare is accomplished by Christ. And as Paul said, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Now, let's begin in verse 13. And I want to show you how that the devil, the dragon, here called the devil. He's using imagery, but if you're talking about the devil, who is the dragon, he uses two beasts. He's spoken of two beasts here. The first beast typifies the world and its anti-Christ government. The world and anti-Christ government. Been going on since Christ came. Now listen, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now this beast, you see, rose up out of the sea. The sea is fallen man. The sea is depraved man. Governments and the world's made up of fallen, sinful men and women under the power of the devil. We go over to Revelation 17, and I'll show you this is speaking of men and women. It says in verse 15, Revelation 17, 15, he said to me, the waters, there's the sea, which thou sawest where the horse sitteth, are people and multitudes and nations and tongues. See, the people, it's people. The government is made up of people, sinful people, depraved people, doing what's in their heart to do. William Hendrickson says that this beast represents all anti-Christian governments throughout this gospel age, from Rome, when Christ walked this earth, until the last one, until Christ comes. And these world governments and just the whole world, fallen world, are powerful. They're very powerful. Look here in verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. That means he's a very powerful, he's powerful government, powerful institution. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and wickedness in high places. These are things way beyond our ability and power. It says, and the dragon, that is the devil, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. The devil gives all the antichrist government, all the governments of the world, he gives them their power and their seat and their great authority. But don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. The devil's already conquered by Christ. And the devil can't do anything but what Christ permits him to do. Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the all-powerful God-man mediator ruling heaven and earth and all things in the earth. And Romans 13 says the powers that be are ordained of God. Well, whoever's in, you know, government as an entity appears large to us, but it's made up of just sinful men. But those powers that be are ordained of God, from the president to the police officer. They're all ordained of God, and Christ is ruling them, every one of them. You notice here they have a limited number of crowns. And later it says Christ wears many crowns. He's all powerful. He's the authority and the dominion. The first chapter tells us that to him is all glory and all dominion forever and ever. Speaking of Christ, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Nothing's happening out of his control. Nothing's happening out of Christ's control. It's all coming to pass exactly as God foreordained. Now, the objective of the devil is to use governments to turn man's mind from Christ, to turn you from Christ, to keep you looking from looking to Christ, to looking at things going on in this world, in politics and in the world, to keep you from looking at unseen eternal things, to looking at temporary seen things. That's his goal. Look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. I think this speaks to the fact that sometimes governments come back, you know, and the devil, whose head was wounded, he's got a little power. He's still doing a little as the Lord permits him to do, but he's wounded. But look, all the world, unregenerate, fallen sinners, wandered after the beast. They're going after government and worldly, the whole worldly system, and they worship the dragon, the devil, which gave power to the beast, to the government. And they worship the beast, the governments of the world, saying, who's like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? Have you noticed how many news channels there are nowadays? I mean, there's a lot more news channels today than there used to be. And they all they ever show is politics and what's going on in government and what's going on in the world and this side against that side. And it's... And the thing about it is people get to watching these things and they get so caught up in what's going on in politics and in the government. And it's the same with everything else on television and all the world's entertainments that just keep your mind focused on the world. That's the devil's objective. And another thing is it's showing us here is his goal is to make men worship and depend upon governments to save them rather than Christ. And that's what a lot of folks do. They depend on the government and depend on this world and think this is their salvation rather than looking to Christ, rather than looking to him. You know, everybody's worried about this one world government. Brethren, it's been a one world government the whole time. He's telling us here. They're all together. All the governments of the world are the same depraved men under the same power of the devil, but they're under the power of Christ doing what Christ would have them to do. The devil's always trying to imitate Christ. Christ got one holy nation. One holy nation. He's the ruler of his kingdom. He's the king of that kingdom. And he's the king of all lesser kingdoms. So the devil just tries to imitate what Christ is doing. But God's saints are in that holy kingdom. And he's going to keep his saints looking to Christ and trusting Christ. And he's not going to let you be carried away and start worshiping. Those that worship that beast also worship the devil. And he's not going to let you be carried off by your sin. Anything that you're looking to for salvation other than Christ is not salvation. And it's actually worshiping that thing and worshiping the devil. Christ is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's all our salvation providing for us in this world. Fallen sinners attribute to this world, this government, they attribute to this beast what ought to be attributed to God. They say, who is like unto the beast? Who's able to make war with him? We just saw in the Psalm last week that God's saints say of God, among all the gods, there's no God like thee. That word gods, we're going to see in John, speaks about rulers in power, too. It speaks of men in high positions of authority. And among all the gods, there's no God like God. He's the great God that does wondrous things. And none can make war with God and win. They can't. And they're not going to conquer his people. He's already conquered all. Now, these governments this first beast, they blaspheme God, they persecute the saints, but none shall separate Christ's people from Christ. Now look here in verse 5. It was given to him, to this beast, a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That means God has a set time for him. When you look at the numbers in Revelation, just know God's got a set time. And they represent a definite time or a definite number that God has set. And it says here, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, his church, even them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. That is just bodily. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Now, here's the good news in this chapter right here. Before this world was made, God our Father chose a people unto salvation in Christ. And he wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's not a one written in the Lamb's Book of Life that's going to be carried away into this world, into this world system and this world of governments and be carried away captive by the devil. It ain't happening. That's how we come into the world. But the Lord is going to save his people and he's going to keep us. They all are going to worship him. The whole world is going after him. The whole world right now. You've got divided by political parties. Divided nation against nation. There's all these earthly things that distinguish one and let men think, well, we're better than that group because of some earthly thing. God's made his people one, and the only ones that are not going to fall for this are those names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not going to worship him. Not one of them shall ever be lost. He chose us as the object of his mercy, his love, and his grace, and the purpose of God in election shall stand. He will not lose one. They won't ever be separated from Christ. But those that take captive. Now, they governments have power, and we're not fighting the government. We're waiting on the Lord. And if they take anybody captive, it's just a matter of time. They're going to be taken captive, and all that kill with a sword in a matter of time is going to be killed with a sword. And this is the patience and faith of the saints. We're waiting on the Lord. We know the Lord is working. We believe the Lord. Just turn that mess off. I guarantee you this. I'll give you an experiment to do. I did this back last year. You turn it on today and look at it. Turn it off. Watch it 10 minutes. Turn it off. And wait 2 months and turn it back on. And it'll be like you just turned it off. And you won't have missed anything. Just turn it off. You won't miss anything. But the Lord is ruling it. The Lord is ruling it. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He's not going to allow his people to be carried away, to wait on the Lord. Now, let's look at the second beast. The second beast is false religion. It's more dangerous than the first beast. But they're one. All the governments of this world of false religion are one. They're one and the same. Look here in verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The other one came out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. And it's just symbolical that this is earthy religion. Cain brought what? He brought the fruit of the earth, the work of his hands. It says, and he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. False religion looks harmless like a lamb. They may come speaking about the lamb. They may come speaking about a Jesus, but it's another Jesus. But the message they're preaching is the message of the devil. It was the message of the dragon. False religion will say Jesus this and Jesus that. I'm not just talking about idolatrous religion and obvious religion. I'm talking about religion that calls the name Christ. They looked harmless. But here's the message. The message is the message of the devil. What was the devil's message in the garden? You will. You will. And the day you eat, you will. Your eyes will be open. You'll become as God. You'll know good from evil. His message appeals to the flesh. Now, there's only two religions in the whole world. Only two. Only two. True religions of God is salvation by the grace of God accomplished by Christ Jesus our Lord and given freely to those He regenerates and calls to faith in Him. Salvation's of the Lord. That's the true religion. There's only one other. It's false religion, and it puts a work in man's hand. It puts the work in man's hand. True religion gives all the glory to God. False religion gives glory to man. Now, Antichrist religion is one with Antichrist government and with the world. I know they speak against the world and act like they're not with the world. God says right here they're one. Look at verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This is religion telling the world and causing the world to worship the first beast, to worship the world and the governments of the world. Politicians, when they run for office, they love to have religious folks speak for them or come pray for them and always supporting them. And religious folks in false religion love to have politicians doing the same for them. They're one. They're one. God's saints shall not be deceived by the signs and wonders of false religion. Look here in verse 13. He doeth great wonders. Great wonders. So that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Natural man has got to have signs and wonders. They've got to have something they can see. And I don't doubt here that the devil is able to make men work signs and wonders. And maybe he'll do that in a greater degree later. True signs and wonders. But our Lord said there's only one sign. There's only one. It's a sign of the prophet Jonas. As he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the earth. And he's risen. And he's the only sign he gives to his people. He said, an adulterous generation seeks after sign. And all the things that go on in religion and goes on in the world is nothing more than to deceive the people. And it's to keep them looking to themselves and to their works and away from Christ. Paul said, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. The carnal mind is going to be where? In religion, in government, in the world, in religion, the carnal mind is going to be focused on things below. Signs and wonders and works and deeds and doing and doing and doing and doing and doing and giving man all the glory. Our gospel says, if you're risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Set your affection on Christ. Study the spiritual things of God and follow Him. And don't follow the world. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So what is this mark of the beast? What is this all about? Verse 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, I try to make this as simple as I can. This started in the first generation, in the first days of the church, this started. As soon as Christ went back to glory, this started. What did the Judaizers come telling believers? Except you be circumcised, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Except you have a mark in your body, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what they came saying. And this has happened many times since then. Governments and false religion alike have done similar things many times in history. In one generation, the papacy forbid its followers to do any business with anybody who didn't profess allegiance to them. They've killed people professing Christians many times because they wouldn't submit to them. And that'll keep going on and on and on and on and on until the end. But this mark here that the world has in their forehead or on their right hand, it speaks of the strong delusion that God gives to men so that their minds are corrupted, so that they believe a lie and they follow a lie. And the lie is in their right hand. The lie is the works of their own hand. Man confiding in his own strength. This is the mark of the beast. Now, God tells us the number of the beast is man trusting man. That's what it is. That's the mark. Look here at verse 18. Here is wisdom. Everybody gets scared to death about this number, 666. Here's the wisdom. Listen. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. That beast, now don't forget, that beast is, the first one was men that make up world government. And this whole world, the second one was men and women who make up religion. Antichrist is people. Antichrist is men and women who are anti-Christ and opposite Christ and other than Christ. That's who they are. And he says to us here, the number of this false government and false antichrist religion is the number of a man. His number is 600, 3, 4, 4, and 6. It's the number of a man. 6, 6, 6. The number of man is 6. Man was created on the 6th day. And in Scripture, the number of man is 6. It means failure. That's what it means. Failure. 6 represents sinful, fallen man. That's the number. That's the mark. 7's the number of perfection. Now, that number represents perfect God, our perfect Savior, His perfect salvation. In the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, it talks about the 7 spirits of the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. What's these 7 spirits? It's saying that perfection of the Holy Spirit. And what you have here is the opposite of 7. It's failure. 6 comes short of 7. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ is perfection. The Lord rested on the 7th day. He's the perfect rest of His people. He's the perfect rest of His people. Now, there are 3 digits here. If you just wrote the number up on a board, it'd be 6, 6, 6, 3 digits. There are 3 persons in the Godhead. If it was representing God, it'd be 7, 7, 7. But there's 6 there representing the 3 persons of the Godhead because man tries to put himself in place of God in all 3 persons of the Godhead. God the Father chose whom He would. He predestinated whom He would to be conformed into the image of Christ. He chose His Son to do the saving. And man tries to usurp that authority and put himself in the place of God the Father, saying, I'll do the choosing. I don't think that's fair. God the Son came forth and accomplished the redemption of His people and perfected His people forever by one offering, them that are sanctified. Man tries to usurp that authority, put himself in that place and say, I'll make myself righteous by my obedience. And then you have God the Holy Spirit who regenerates His people and sanctifies His people and creates us a new creation. And man says, I'll take that glory. I'll sanctify myself and I'll birth myself again and I'll preserve myself until the end. It's just man trying to take the glory that belongs to God. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:4. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now there may be a time come when the world is finally under one government and there's just one ruler over the whole thing, and everybody looks to him and says these things about him, and he stands up and tries to make himself out to be God. That may happen, but don't make the mistake the world's made through the years. It just keep looking at everybody that rises up and saying, oh, there's the son of perdition. There he is. Hitler was, and Mussolini was, and Stalin was, and it's Antichrist. That's people who are opposed to God having all the glory in Christ in salvation. They operate from the power of force. If you don't have the mark, you can't buy and sell. If you don't submit to them, you can't buy and sell. What does our Lord say? Our Lord says, come ye, buy, without money and without price. Salvation's free because he paid it all for his people. But here's the good news. God's people have a mark too. God's people have a mark. This mark you're talking about here in the earthy is an earthy mark. It's a mark that men are going to be known by because they submit to the government, they submit to false religion. They're one. God's people are never going to be one with this world. They're never going to be accepted by the governments and the religion of this world. It's not going to happen. The Lord's not going to let it happen. But we got a mark too. We've been sealed. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, I looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their forehead. A particular number saved by God, and they had a mark in their foreheads. They were sealed in their father's forehead by his name. After the Spirit regenerated you and brought you to faith in Christ, Paul said in Ephesians 1, that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed us. And that Holy Spirit can't be broken. It guarantees our eternal security in Christ. The seal preserves us. It's the proof of ownership. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Our ownership and our security is Christ. It's not in any way dependent upon or determined by us. There's no mark you get in your body that's going to secure or unsecure your salvation. It ain't going to happen. Paul, in our next verse in Galatians 6, says, circumcision nor uncircumcision avail. It's being made new by Christ. That's what avails. And he said at the end of that, I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's marks from being under the power of his Spirit and being rejected by this world and persecuted by this world. Our security is Christ. The security of the sheep's the shepherd. Christ has redeemed us. We can't be unredeemed. He sanctified his people that's been born again. You can't be unsanctified. He's justified us. You can't be unjustified. You're complete in him, and you'll never be incomplete in him. That's the security of those that are sealed with the Father's name. Brother Don used to say, our relationship with the eternal Father, with the eternal God, does in great measure determine what we do, but what we do in no way determines our relationship with the eternal God. If that's not the case, my confidence is not entirely in Christ. Listen to this. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord's round about his people from henceforth even forever. Verse 4, he says, these are they which are not defiled with women, for they're virgins. They made righteous by Christ. They're not defiled with the great harlot of this world and false religion. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men. They've been bought out from the world. The first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they're without fault before the throne of God. When you're born of God, Nathanael, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. There's a new man in which is no sin. And before God in Christ, you have no sin. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to you and me that are still on this earth. Now listen to what this one's going to tell to us right here. He's preaching to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. What's he going to tell us in the face of all this that we just heard about? And what all we see going on in the world? What's he going to tell us to do? He spoke with a loud voice, said, "Fear God, give glory to Him." Don't fear this world. Don't fear this world's governments. Don't fear politicians. Don't fear the viruses. Don't fear the false religion. Don't fear any of these things below. Sanctify God. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. He'll be for a sanctuary. Trust Him. Trust Him. Give glory to Him. That's how you give glory to Him. Lord, I'm trusting You. You've sealed me. I'm Yours. For the hour of His judgment's come. That's what He's working right now. That's what He's doing. Worship Him that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains and the waters. And that's what His people are going to do. We're going to worship Him by His grace. That probably wasn't near as entertaining if I'd have got up here and told you that this mark of the beast was chips that they're going to put in you, under your skin. But whatever it is the world does, it's not the concern of God's people. Our concern is follow Christ, follow the Lamb, look to Him. Christ got this all under control. Amen.